And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Today, we're going to be looking at a very important subject. And don't turn that dial, because you're going to want to know about this. It's something that's gaining great ground in America that is about as evil as you can get. In fact, this particular document, I guess you could call it, that we're going to talk about today, is responsible for the murder and the torture of hundreds of millions of people. Could that be possible? Could there be a book or a set of books that gross, that evil? Well, a couple years back, there was a pastor, I believe he was out in Florida, that got all fired up because of Islamic terrorism. And it's easy to do, by the way. I get pretty fired up and angry about the Islamicists who kill people and just do terrible things. That's why I'm 100% opposed. I don't believe that Muslims should be allowed to live in America. I don't. I'm just that radical. I believe this should be a Christian country, but it'd be better to leave atheists here. At least atheists aren't out killing people. Well, they probably are, but not a designed a killing of people, such as in the Islamic religion. In their Quran, their holy book, they conduct jihad, which is war against us, against Christians, against anyone who opposes Muhammad, Allah, and Islam. Well, but we're not going to talk about Islam today. I talked about it before, and I'm going to do it in the future, too. And I want you to know that when I talk about Islam, I'm usually threatened. I always receive a few letters from people that tell me they're going to basically get me, you know, and rather than letting Allah take care of it, since there is no Allah, they're going to come and kill me for saying bad things about Islam. Well, I'm still here, folks. I'm still here. But probably the most evil religion, and where I get the most criticism and the most threats, actually, is Judaism. When I talk about Judaism, boy, I get it. And the Jews are the most wicked and most evil and most dangerous. Now, this pastor out in Florida, he said what he was going to do is, on a certain day, he was going to take the copies of the Quran outside his little Baptist church. He's going to burn it. He's going to have a ceremony. He's going to burn the Quran. And, you know, Americans seem to be opposed to book burning, although in the book of Acts, it does say that the early church, you know, the people before they became Christians were into all kinds of pagan, occultic, demonic religions. And they had many books that were supernatural books. You go to a bookstore today and they're all over the place, aren't they? My goodness gracious. Go to a New Age bookstore and the whole store is full of books like that. But even the regular bookstores, they say the Satanic Bible by LaVey is still one of the best sellers on Amazon. Think about that. Now, I don't mind the pastor doing that, because the book of Acts says that the early church, they came together and they took all of their supernatural books on black magic, witchcraft, and all the old gods and goddesses. They had studied these things before. That was what they were into until they came to know Jesus Christ. And then the church people took out all these books from their homes and they put them in a big bonfire and burned them. You can find that in the book of Acts. You think it's wrong to burn books? No, there's a lot of books like that. A lot of books I wish were burned, but, you know, I let them sit there and I lament over them. I go by a bookstore that's got these satanic books in it. Oh, my. You know, maybe they should all be burned, but I'm going to let God handle that. I've got so much on my agenda. You know, that's one more thing I'd like to do, but I don't recommend it to you either. I think we can do more by doing other things. Well, in any case, they said that in the book of Acts, it's interesting. It says, and the church grew. Wow. Instead of God saying, oh, they were punished for their book burning. No. They burned these horrible books. And the church continually grew and grew. It got bigger. It got better, so to speak. That's in the book of Acts, folks. Don't knock people. You know, I've known a lot of Christians. They've taken things out of their houses. Witchcraft artifacts and such. Pictures on the wall. Little dolls for girls that were satanic in nature, witchcraft dolls. All kind of jewelry with witch symbols on it and such. And, of course, many books. And they've written to me and said, Tex, when I became a Christian, I took these things and burned them. Good for them. I don't have any problem. You know, Paul said of idols like that, they're all idols, really, that people worship, venerate, and they get into bad things. Paul said, the Apostle Paul, said an idol is nothing in itself. It's made out of wood or metal. And that's all that it really is. But behind these things are devils. Oh, you see. So the devil convinces somebody that this necklace has a symbol on it that will bring them good luck. These are sold all the time. You can see them in magazines. You can order some for yourself if you want to defy God. And these things actually they have no power in and of themselves. That symbol that you wear around your neck, miss, is not going to help you, or mister. That ring that you wear with that Masonic symbol in it, that's not going to help you. It won't bring good luck to you at all. Now, but behind that is a devil. They're devils. So the devil says, I'm going to convince her that good will come out of that. And maybe the devil might give you something, a little thing, you know, maybe something that you had asked for. He might just furnish it to you. And you go, wow, it worked. This is great. Oh, yeah. Then he's got you. You got one foot in the door. And then he pulls a trap and you're gone. I could tell you true stories that, oh my goodness, that make your hair grow up look like you got a flat top. Even the old flat tops straight up. A woman told me that her husband was a drunk, an alcoholic. But he went to visit a fortune teller in Houston, Texas, she said. He couldn't get rid of this drink. He never could get sober. He tried everything. Finally, they told him about this woman in Houston, Texas. And he would go there and she would pray for him, put her little, you know, magic crystal ball out and turn the lights off. And they'd sit around and hold hands. She would pray for him that the spirits would come and help him and she could relieve his alcoholism from him. So the man was so desperate and that's what alcohol does to you, my friends. That's why they call alcohol spirits. You know, spirits? Well, yes. You see, there's nothing in the alcohol. It's bad, but boy, the spirits, when they get on you, that's pretty bad. Well, this guy went to see the woman and they did everything they were supposed to do there. They were around this table and she said, do you believe what I'm doing here? Do you believe what I'm doing, what I'm going to do for you? He said, yes, ma'am. Oh my. Now this was a Christian couple. They were members of a Christian church, a small church up in East Texas. They should have known better than this, but there they were in Houston, Texas. By the way, they had to pay the woman quite a bit of money because she was going to cure him, relieve him of his alcoholism. And so there they were. He said, yes, ma'am, I believe. I believe you. Oh, boy. Goodness. And she commenced to chanting. And then she began to speak in other tongues. Oh, yes. There's another tongue, my friend. There's a demonic tongue. You hear somebody speaking? It could be of God, maybe, but it also could be of the devil. You got to look at the circumstance, the environment, and all, you got to learn all about it and discover what's the purpose of it, why they're doing it, and what's going. I mean, listen, it's not a sure bet that speaking in tongues is from God. Not at all. So, she began to speak in other tongues. And he and his wife, they fervently began to pray. And then he began to speak in tongues. He couldn't stop himself. Something had entered his body, and he was possessed, and he began to speak in other tongues. And then the session ended. He paid the woman his money, and he left. The lady called me. She was thrilled and excited. She wanted me. She knew that I exposed the New Age, but what did she call me for? I didn't even know her. She wanted to tell me about what great, wonderful thing had happened to her husband. I said, well, what happened next? She said, we went back to our church and we told him. And many people said, it must have been of God because your husband was healed. He hasn't drank since. That's been, like a couple of weeks now, and he has not drank. That's great. Wonderful. The church praised God for it. Ah, yes, another big mistake. But wait, the man, he didn't drink anymore. He was cured. Or was he? I told her, you can't be cured by Satan. She said, oh, it wasn't Satan. I said, oh, yes, it was. Did the gal, the fortune teller, did she pray in Jesus' name? Well, no. What name did she pray? Well, I don't know because it was in a chant. It was some other name. Ah, yes. I told that lady, I said, let me tell you something. Your husband is in great peril. He's in worse condition than when he was drinking. You see, even the Bible talks about a spirit that's cast out of a man or leaves a man because he's cleaned up. But then the devil goes out and gets seven devils more powerful than he is, and they all come back and they take the man. And Jesus said his condition in the end is worse than it was at the first. This is what's going to happen to your husband. You're going to have a horrible problem with him. What you need to do is go back to your church, and you need to renounce all of that, and you need to ask Jesus to cast out the devil. I believe your husband's got a devil in him. Oh, she was. Oh, that can't be. He's praising God now. I said, well, I'm being honest with you, ma'am. I know what happens here. I know that's what's going to happen. Please rescue your husband, rescue the perishing. I don't know what happened to that woman. I pray that she followed my advice, but I want you to know something, friends. There are systems of magic. There are systems of witchcraft, and Judaism is one of those. I'm going to talk to you about it now. Islam is also satanic. Don't go pray with a Muslim. Don't. If you're in some public meeting and they put some Muslim up front and he starts praying or offering the invocation or something at some dinner or whatever, you just pray to Jesus Christ. Look straight ahead. Don't say anything. Don't pray with him. In fact, pray against him. Even if the words he's saying are good, how can good come from the devil? It can't happen. Oh, Tex, you're so strict. You're so rude. You're just terrible. Don't you think God can work through other ways? I'm not talking about ways. I'm talking about avenues of hell. I'm talking about demonic possession. Now, let me tell you how to know Jesus Christ as Lord. Galatians chapter 4 is great. In fact, let's go to chapter 3. Verses 25 through 20, it says, for ye are all, now this, he's talking to Paul here in Galatians, is talking to Christians. They could be from any nation, any ethnic group. They could be black, white, they could probably Greek because it was in Greece, but they could be Jewish. He didn't care, he's talking to Christians. There's differences between blacks and whites and Greeks and a lot of differences. Culturally. Maybe mentally, athletically. You know about those differences, don't you? I'm probably considered a bigot because I say there are differences. Now, there's similarities too. And maybe, they're similar in more ways than they're dissimilar. But I'm just telling you that there are differences in people. There are differences between men and women and, children. They're all kind of different. But listen to what Paul said. For ye, he's talking to Christians, are all the children of God, by faith in Christ Jesus, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ's, if you've repented of your sins and you've asked Jesus to come in your heart and you were sincere and he took you in and made you his child, if you belong to him, if ye are Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Wow. Go back to Abraham in the book of Genesis. Read the promises he was given. Those are yours, my friend. You're an heir to that. Oh, well, I'm not a Jew. Well, he wasn't a Jew either. Read about it. He came from Babylon. Well, actually, you know, some Sumeria and the Chaldees. He came from the city of Ur, where they worship the goddess and the god and the serpents and the dragons and all kind of horrible creatures. But Abraham said, there's a real God and I want to worship him. And he prayed to the real God. And God said, get out of that city. Yeah, it was polluting him. All those people, everything happening to him. Get out of that city. Just like God, you know, told Noah, get out. Prepare that ark. He told Lot, get out of Sodom and Gomorrah. Get out. And he sent fire and brimstone. Well, isn't this wonderful? It doesn't matter your race. It doesn't matter how much education you have. Maybe you were in the war and you got both legs blown off. Could be. You don't have to worry about that in heaven, my friends. And if you come to Jesus Christ, you'll have a new body. And things of this earth are just going to pass away. Well, so fast. It's all going to happen so fast. Even if you live 80 or 90 years, that's not long. Then you're going to be with God forever in your new body. What's it going to be like? I don't know. It's going to be somewhat like God's. Paul said that. But he basically said it's going to be terrific. I'm telling you. You're an heir according to the promise. What the promise? Promise. What promise was that? That was of Jesus Christ. You say, well, Jesus, he wasn't around back in Abraham's time. Oh, yes, he was. He's been here from the beginning. He was with God at the beginning, from the beginning. And he is God. In fact, he knew you were going to be born back then. When was that? Oh, I don't know. Maybe millions of years ago. I'm not talking about the creation. I'm talking about what was in Jesus' mind. From the foundation of the world, he knew you. If he said, well, you know, Elizabeth or John or Tex or Wanda or Sam, I'm going to make them my child. They're going to love me. I suppose he had you pictured in his mind. He knows all about you. He knew everything. He knew from the beginning all the way. Even when you're in the womb, he already knew you. And so, isn't that good? Is there anybody that knows you better than God? Nobody. Well, my wife, my husband, they really know me. They understand me. No, they don't. No. You know you've got a few little secrets in your mind. You think some things are what I mean. I'm not talking about sin. I'm just talking about, you know, I don't know whether they're politically correct or not. I'm just talking about things. I mean, there are things you say, well, I better not talk to my wife about that. She won't understand, or my husband. Maybe you don't do that. You talk about it with everything. Okay, you're talking about everything with her, I mean. But God already knows everything. Well, in any case, isn't that wonderful? Now, if you're a racial supremacist, you're a Jew or you're a black or you're a white or you're something that says I'm the better race, you're just foolish. Is Black Lives Matter? Oh, it's stupid. That's just absolutely stupid. Deadly. It's deadly. Why is it deadly? Because it defies God. It's against God. All lives matter to God. All. Every race, every ethnic group. Well, Tex Morris, you know, you're just, you know, you're not of the white race. Yes, I am. I'm proud of my race, too. If I was a black, I'd be proud of what the blacks do. I mean, I and you don't have to pal around with somebody from another race. You don't have to be, you know, you don't have to like their music or their style or their culture or anything about them. Go. If you're white, go meet some other white people. Associate with them. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm simply saying, as far as God is concerned, everybody is equal in that they've either been chosen or not. A lot of white people have not been chosen. A lot of whites have. Well, okay. Now, let's get back to my most important subject, which is today I'm going to talk about the Jewish Talmud. the holy book. Now, we have the Bible, 66 books in there from Genesis to Revelation. Absolutely true, all of them. If you've got, you know, the right version, of course. Because, boy, they're putting out versions left and right now, aren't they? So just stick with the King James Bible and you're going to be okay. So you got the King James Bible. It's correct. It's got a few these and thous in it. Well, come on. You're smart enough to figure that out. You'll understand. God will help you. Nobody even needs to instruct you in the Bible. You can read it yourself, and the Holy Spirit will teach you all things. Now, the Holy Spirit's better than any professor at any university, I can guarantee you right now, and he will instruct you in all things. Every time I read the Bible, I learn new things. You'd think that it's going to get boring, but it doesn't. I'm reading the same verse over and over again, and the 50th time I say, wait just a minute. Hold it. There's something there I forgot. Look at that. I never even noticed that before. That's because God will take you bit by bit. The Bible says that, precept by precept. He knows where you're at, you know, how capable you are, and whether you're ready for advanced knowledge. It's like a university, you know. They take you from the beginning, and they you know, if they're a good university, you graduate and you know a lot of things. Well, you never graduate with God. Because, well, he's so superior to us. He's packed a lot of things into this Bible. And that's the wonderful thing. You can study it all your life, and you're still going to find new things in it. I find them all the time. Now, maybe it's just because I'm dumb. Maybe, you know, you're probably smarter than me, and you can figure out that maybe you read it one time, you understand it perfectly. Well, I'm not that way. I know I've got a couple of college degrees, and, you know, I've written, I don't know, 50, 60 books, something like that. If you consider the forewords, it goes way up there, forewords to books I've written for other people. But in any case, I'm just sort of dumb. I just keep reading new stuff. I read the same old book, the Holy Bible, and I learn new things from it all the time. Now, I want to talk to you about the Talmud. You know, when Jesus was here, the Jews did not have a Talmud. Oh, they did. It was an oral Talmud. They passed along these sayings, you know, to each other. And the rabbis would study the Talmud, and they would teach each other in their yeshivas, in their schools, in their synagogues, until they all knew the words of that Talmud. Who wrote the Talmud? What was these ancient rabbis, you know, from the past that wrote the Talmud? And they believed these rabbis were of God, and so, of course, they couldn't have written anything that wasn't true. So they added the Talmud to the Old Testament. In fact, before long, the Jews were saying that the Talmud actually is more vital, more important to read and study than the Bible. They call the first five books of the Old Testament the Torah, but the Torah is not important. It's the Talmud. We can trust these rabbis. We can trust these oral teachings. Now, when the Christians came along, well, they put what Jesus said in other teachings of the apostles into a book. They call it the New Testament. They even added a church group, you know, that met and decided which book should go in the New Testament. So they published the New Testament. They added it to the old, and there you had the Bible. Well, let me just tell you what happened. The Jews got very jealous of that. The Jews around the world were very jealous of the Christians. It seemed, you know, Paul says the Jews are contrary to all men, even to themselves, by the way. They hate each other. But it says that the Jews, he said, are contrary to all men. They hate everybody equally. They do. Well, it's interesting that the Jews, around 250 to 300 A.D., they saw this New Testament, and they knew that Christianity was a great competitor. Christianity had basically taken the civilized world, all of Rome. Everyone believed. Constantine had convinced the people that, of course, Christianity was right. And everybody, many Jews even had become Christians. And the Jews said, you know, we need to put our beliefs, our writings, into a book too. It's been oral. Now we need to make it a written Talmud. And so this team of Jews, many say 70, a Sanhedrin, met, and they worked for a number of years in compiling their written Talmud. And they discovered that many, many of the things they were teaching the people, and had been taught to the people in their oral Talmud, they had adopted or brought back from Babylon. When they were there, you know, Jeremiah had prophesied it, and Daniel and the others were there in Babylon. So when they came back, you read about them coming back and building, rebuilding the wall and all that stuff, and Zechariah came back to Israel. They're released from their captivity, came back to Israel. They had a lot of additions to the Old Testament, my friends. And they call it the Talmud. But because most of these sayings came from Babylon, yes, it was called the Babylonian Talmud. That's what they decided to call it. Think about that. That's what you read today in Judaism. That's their most holy book. It's the Babylonian Talmud. I wouldn't even want that name on my book, on my Bible, would you? I wouldn't want to call it the Babylonian New Testament. Well, that's atrocious. But the Jews didn't mind. They got all this wisdom, this ancient wisdom from Babylon, where they worshiped the god and the goddess and serpents and all kind of creeping things, and it was just wonderful. You see, they mixed the things of the devil with the things of God, and then they put it orally and passed it on. And Jesus said, you have for your religion, he told the Jews, the traditions of men. They were just Babylonian traditions. They adopted them. Of course, they took a saying or a belief from the Babylonians, and then they changed that up and made it even worse. With every telling of it, I suppose they just tacked on things that were... I'll tell you a few things in the Talmud in the second half of this show. You're going to be shocked. And many of them say, we got this from Babylon, but we had to put the rabbi's twist on it, you know. Of course, they don't call it a twist. But, you know, they call it a twist or a spin. Yeah, we had to put the rabbi's twist or spin. What do the rabbis think of that Babylonian law? Boy. Now, the Babylonians had a twisted theology. They were crooked. They were evil. They were wicked. But the Jews did them one more. When the rabbis got a hold of the Babylonian law, and they mixed it with some in the Bible, and suddenly it came out the Babylonian Talmud. Now, Jews today believe their Talmud is greater than the Torah, greater than the Bible. The Talmud itself says it's much wiser to study this book than the Bible. Don't waste your time on the Bible. Did you know that most Jews in the world today have never studied 1 hour in their so-called yeshivas? That's their seminary. Now, you want to be a rabbi? Okay, you go to, let's say, high school and you go to a yeshiva. You might spend, who knows, 2, 4, 6 years studying at a yeshiva, which is similar to a Christian seminary. And you specialize on Judaism, on the Judaic religion. And you spend all your time, my friends, studying the Babylonian Talmud. And also, by the way, nowadays, the Kabbalah, the Jewish Kabbalah, which is a separate book. Or set of books, 5 books, actually. Now, the Talmud is long and big. It's 30 to 36 or so volumes, depending on the edition. And you will spend all of your time in the yeshiva, in the school, studying the Talmud, maybe the Kabbalah, and not 1 hour on the Old Testament. Most Christians think, well, the Jews must really know that Old Testament. They know all about Isaiah and Jeremiah and Moses and, oh, Abraham. Oh, yes, they really study the Old Testament. No, they don't at all. They don't. I mean, a baby Christian knows more about the Old Testament than the Jews do. It's true. They don't study the Old Testament. They don't think it has value. They believe it has all kind of myths. They read it through the eyes, through the vision, through the glasses, let's say, the lenses of the Talmud or the Kabbalah. Wow. Okay, we're going to take a little break now, and we'll be right back. I'm Tex Mars. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. Hello again, friends. This is Tex Mars. I have a new book out. It's called The Holy Serpent of the Jews. Would you like to really know the secret doctrine of the Jews? Well, It's not totally secret, but the Jews don't want the Gentiles to know about it. They've kept it from you. You can't find this information in any library in the world. Now I've taken all the Jews' sayings, all the rabbis' sayings, and I've selected the similar ones, the ones that they teach. All of them believe in this, and I put it in one book. Now, surprisingly, the Jews do have one book called the Zohar. The Zohar. It's part of the Kabbalah. And the Zohar is only one of five books, but the most important book of the Zohar, of the Kabbalah. And most Jews believe in the Zohar. Of course, the Kabbalah itself and the Zohar have been incorporated to a great extent in the Talmud. So when you're reading the Talmud, you read a lot of the stuff in the Kabbalah, and the Kabbalah, you know, tells you about the Talmud. So the Jews use both. Now, when you go to a Christian church, you're going to use the Old Testament and the New Testament. That's perfectly good. The Jews don't use either one. They use the Kabbalah and the Talmud. Both of them are written by rabbis. Rabbis. Not the prophets. Moses, Abraham, Isaac, none of the ancient prophets wrote one page of the Talmud or the Kabbalah. And so I wanted to know, of course, you know, I have an inquiring mind. you folks who know me know I have a very inquiring mind. And I love to study subjects. I love to study especially important subjects. And this is one of the most important of all. Of course, the Bible beats it. And if you're a Bible teacher, I'm sorry, you're superior to me. You got me. You got me going and coming there. I mean, I'd probably be better doing my time just teaching the Bible. But this is the Bible. The Bible warns you about the traditions of men. The man-made traditions, Jesus told them. Well, what are those man-made traditions? So that's what I'm going to tell you today. I guess it is pretty important then, isn't it? Important that you know what were the man-made traditions that were taught in Jesus' time that have actually gotten even more polished, even more special today. And I must tell you right now, if you order this book from us, I will send you a newsletter which will tell you about, it'll name all the rabbis, many of them in my book, and it quotes them. You know, I don't write a book like Holy Serpent of the Jews unless it's accurate. And I quote the rabbis. You might say I wrote this book, but it's really the writings and the beliefs of the rabbis. These are their man-made traditions. They call themselves the elders, the Jew. And I get the most famous of the rabbis, the ones that the Jews love to quote from. I quote from them too. You'll need to know about these rabbis. And I quote them in my book. And I tell you what their religion believes. You're going to be surprised.
Well, I know what they believe. They believe in, you know, the Old Testament, believe that in the great I Am and Jehovah. And
no, you don't know anything. No. You're reading the Old Testament. That's the truth. But the Jews have kept secrets. And even Jesus knew what they taught. And he says, you know, they believe in don't touch this, don't touch that, don't eat this, don't eat that. You know, and that was their religion, he said. And they came to him many times and says, why are you defying our religion? You're breaking our laws. And he instructed them, said, well, let's just look at your law. Is your law, it doesn't even make common sense, he told them. Wow. Well, they got angry at him. How dare you? In fact, I got a call recently from a Jew. He's very much an Orthodox Jew. And he was at a meeting of rabbis. And one of the rabbis was quoting the Talmud. And he said, the Talmud says that Rabbi so-and-so, some famous old rabbi, had to counsel and instruct God. He couldn't figure out a religious question. So he had to go to the rabbi for instruction. And so the rabbi straightened out God and told him what the answer to his question was. You know, is that the rabbis, the smart rabbis, the intelligent rabbis, the spiritual rabbis, that is, they instruct God. Well, this Jewish man, He was shocked. He's, by the way, he's a medical doctor, I'll just tell you that much. You see, he's pretty smart in terms of human knowledge. This medical doctor, this Jew, told this rabbi, this older rabbi, he said, well, that's an incredible story. Where's that at? He said, that's in the Babylonian Talmud. If you study the Talmud, you would know. He said, well, that's crazy. No rabbi can instruct God. God knows everything. And the rabbi said, are you saying the Talmud is not true? And the guy said, yes, I am saying that. If that's what the Talmud says. Oh, boy. And the rabbi, you know, one of these guys who dressed all black and had a big, long, white, flowing beard. He got all the spittle out of his mouth. Just like that. Ugh, just thinking it. And he spit right in the guy's face. How dare you say that the Talmud has lies? Spit in his face. And all the other rabbis stopped and they looked. And this guy just stood there with spittle coming down his face. And even that man, that the Jewish doctor, even his own rabbi was at that meeting. And even he would not defend him. He said, Tex, he said, I don't believe in the Babylon. I go to synagogue, but I don't believe in this Talmud. Well, oh, really? I don't believe in that Babylonian Talmud, he said. But these rabbis were so angry at me. They were all angry because I said it would not be possible for a rabbi to have counseled God, to answer his questions. And they said it's in the Talmud. Of course, what would my advice be? You know, maybe the guy should have left the Jewish faith, believed in Jesus Christ. This book is very important because let me just tell you right now up front, the Jews teach that the serpent, the same serpent that persuaded Eve, and then of course Adam, to eat of the forbidden fruit, who said to them, it'll be good for you. It'll give you, you know, knowledge, gnosis. You'll know good and evil. And Eve foolishly did what the serpent said. That same serpent is the one the Jews worship. They said that, well, the serpent was good. He brought Adam and Eve out of their stupid paradise situation so that they could become gods. Wow. And we'll become gods too. Through knowledge, through study. But it'll be easier for us because we're Jews. Our flesh is holy. We're different than the Gentiles. They're like the beast of the field. They're animals. They're cattle. They're the goy, the goyim. But we Jews are special. We're so holy. We're supreme. And we worship the serpent. The same one who taught Adam and Eve, he brought the original blessing to them. Oh, did you hear what I said, friends? The Jews teach that the serpent brought the original blessing. Have you ever studied in your Sunday school classes or on your own maybe? And you say that was the original sin. When Eve ate of the fruit, that was the first sin, the original sin. Well, the Jews say, oh, no, no. That wasn't a sin. That was a good thing that Satan did. It wasn't really Satan. It was the serpent, Lucifer. You know, Satan, that's just a Christian invention. Believe. You can believe in Lucifer, though. And he loves us. He helps us. We can pray to him. He will make us a god. He is going to give us the kingdoms of this planet. And each of us will have 2,000 slaves. That's what they put in their Talmud, you know. They'll have 2,000 Gentile slaves. You see a Jewish man out there? Think about that. He's going to have 2,000 slaves someday. You say, well, wait just a minute. This guy, he doesn't have any money. How's he going to buy slaves? Well, he's going to be giving them. In fact, all the Gentiles will bow down to the Jews and say, here, take all my money. Take everything I have. Just don't kill me. Don't behead me. Don't take off my head. That's when the Jewish kingdom comes. That'll be the day of purification. When the serpent will make all of the Jews into gods and the Gentiles will. You'll have to bow down. You have to give them all your wealth, all your land, everything you own, and agree to be their servants. They'll be your master. That's incredible, you say. What book is that? It's the Babylonian Talmud. Who believes in that? Every Jew. It's really a Jew. I mean, there's some Jews that are just reprobates, don't believe in anything. I mean, there's some Christians like that too, claim to be Christian, but they're not. But that's what Judaism teaches, the official religion of Judaism. Now go talk to a rabbi, he won't tell you that. He won't tell you hardly anything. Probably won't even, he'll even say, I can't tell you anything about the, I can't talk of the Talmud to you. Because his Talmud tells him that. If he teaches a Gentile of the Talmud, he is worthy of death. Now, you know, Jesus said, we have taught nothing in secret. Goodness, can you hear what I'm saying? Jesus said to his disciples, we've taught nothing in secret. Nothing. Everything Jesus taught is in the Bible. Now, there's more. I know God can instruct you. There's more, but believe me, these are the basics. This is what you really need to know. And it only took the New Testament. That's just one, you know, all these little sub-books, but it's really one little book. One thin little book. But the Babylonian Talmud is like 30-some-odd volumes. Fills up a whole library. I have it on software, so it's not very, you know, doesn't take up much room. It's on software, on a disc. You can buy it that way. Buy the Sonsino edition. It probably cost you $150, $200, maybe up to $300. I don't know how much it costs. A friend gave me this as a gift, the Sonsino edition of the Talmud. You can buy the 5 books of the Kabbalah, 2 at your bookstore if you want the darn things. Who wants them? I only get them because I can study and I can expose them. That's why I wouldn't even have them. When God tells me to go expose something else and don't expose the Kabbalah anymore, I'll probably just burn it. What good is it? No, I probably won't. I'll probably give it to some other Christian who God says, give it to that man. He needs to study it. He needs to tell us. Well, this book is incredible. You know, some people have said this is the most important book I've ever written. The Holy Serpent of the Jews. One woman read it. She wrote me a letter and says, oh my God, you're going to be killed. Well, she said, oh my God, I guess she got excited. You're going to be killed now. Well, that's up to God. That's not up to the Jews. Should I be worried? If I were a human being, then normally I would be worried, but I'm not. I'm not worried at all. Oh, I think I'm so big and so tough and so brave that they couldn't kill me. I got a gun. I'm going to join the NRA. I'll get them. No. I'm not a member of the NRA or anything. It's okay to own a gun. It's perfect. I don't mind you owning a gun. Probably a good idea. But I don't worry about them. I live just like everybody else does. I depend on God. I do lock my doors at night. That's only wisdom. Not because the Jews may come and break in. They might, but anybody may break in. Well, please get Holy Serpent of the Jews. We're offering it to the ministry just $20. $20. Add $5 shipping and handling. $25. This book it'll change your whole perspective, your whole life. Give it. Buy as many copies as you can. Give to your Christian friends. Tell them, say, this is what the Jews teach. It has all these Jews being quoted in it. You can't go wrong there, can you? Unless you start believing it, of course, that the serpent is really the Messiah and the Redeemer. That's crazy, isn't it? Isn't that crazy? See, when the Jew says, we're waiting for our Messiah to come. They believe there will be a man who will be a Messiah, but behind him will be the serpent guiding him. Oh, my. Read this book. Order this book, please. $20. Add $5 shipping and handling. $25. And we'll send you that newsletter, too. If you can order in the next couple of weeks, we'll send you the newsletter that has the quotes of all the rabbis and such. They'll give you a free subscription to our newsletter, Power of Prophecy. Now, here's how to get the book. Go to the website, powerofprophecy.com or textmars.com. Powerofprophecy.com. You'll enjoy that website, I promise you. And then, of course, you can phone us. The regular work day, 5 days a week. Phone us toll free, 1-800-234-9673. Call and a friendly, wonderful lady or man will assist you. And they're not going to try to get you to buy something else. Buy now this, buy this. And no one will ever call you and say, we've got a special offer for you. We haven't done that in, 30 years. But nobody's going to call you. We're not like the Home Shopping Network. We're just a Christian ministry. Whatever you order, you order. And we love you for it. We appreciate it. You can write to us at Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. And I want you to know that we lose money on our books. A lot of people don't know that. We do. We lose money on our books and our videos. But that's okay. We're going to keep publishing many, even though we lose money on them. We do. I tell you, sometimes I just lament that, but that's what happens. We lose money on them. Because we offer books and videos and tapes that no one else will. That's why. Holy Servant of the Jews. Now let's return to our regular program. We're looking at the Babylonian Talmud. The Jews developed it around 250 A.D. Some say 300, different accounts. But I believe they were very jealous that the Christians had this book. And they didn't have a book. They needed to get out their faith too. Now the problem with the Jewish faith is Jesus said that the Jews would compass the whole earth just to bring in one new convert. You know that? The Jews will go throughout the whole earth and just to bring in one convert. And then they'll make him twice the devil they are. Oh, you don't want to convert to Judaism. Oh my, you'll be made into twice the devil that the Jew is. Now, as far as the Talmud goes, there's a famous book by Arsene Darmstadter, and it just calls the book the Talmud. It's considered a Jewish classic. Let's see what he says in it. He says, the study of Judaism is that of the Talmud, as the study of the Talmud is that of Judaism. They are two inseparable things, or better, they are one and the same. Ah, there you go. Now, some people will tell me, well, the Talmud, that's not Judaism. You're crazy. It is. Listen to what Mr. Darmstadter says in his classic book, The Talmud. He says they're one and the same. They're inseparable. If you study the Talmud, you're studying Judaism. That's it. Says, the Talmud is the work of several generations of rabbis. Nothing indeed, this is what the book says now, nothing indeed can equal the importance of the Talmud. Nothing can equal the importance of the Talmud. Would nothing include the Old Testament? Yes, it would. The New Testament, certainly. This is the greatest book in the world, says the rabbis. Well, let me repeat that again. You might want to write that down. Nothing indeed can equal the importance of the Talmud. Now, don't use your common sense. Use the Talmud. It has all of the laws of the Jews. You know all about these little picky laws. It's got every one of them in there. And then it's got commentary on each one. For example, let's say that it was reported in your synagogue that a certain Jewish man had sex with a little 6 or 7 year old boy. And you go ask the rabbi, isn't that terrible? Wasn't that horrible that he had sex with that little boy? The rabbi would say no, because the Talmud says sex is acceptable up to the age of 9 years and 1 day. But what if his mother has incest with a little boy? Would that be acceptable? Well, yes. Well, what if it's a little girl? What if with a little girl is just 3 years old? What if she's 2.5 years old? Could that be? Well, that would be okay too. A little girl, you see, can be up to 3. If you have sex with a little girl and she's not past 3 years old, then it's not really sex. In fact, well, never mind. I don't want to get the more gross parts. In fact, the Talmud says that it gives an example now in the commentary. It says a rabbi went to a certain town and he found there a man who was living with a 3-year-old girl. And he had made the 3-year-old girl his wife, his child wife. And the rabbi said that is acceptable because the Talmud permits it. Oh, my goodness. That is why pedophilia is so common among rabbis. It is. Most of it is not reported because they handle all these things in the synagogue. All I can say is keep your little boys from the rabbis. They're perverts. They really are. Now, the Talmud has all these horrible things. the Jews are told to study it daily. It's the law in all its authority. You've heard about the Jewish law. This is it. It's all of it. 813 laws plus all the commentary. Incredible laws. By the way, a lot of things they have in here in the Talmud. I want to tell you about a little bit of them. You see, the Sanhedrin 67a, that's one of the books of the Talmud, says that Jesus was born to a Roman soldier. Oh, yes, he was. According to the Talmud, he was. And the Talmud says that this Roman soldier was called Pandira, or the Panther, they called him. He had sex with Mary. And out of that relationship became an illegitimate son, a bastard named Jesus. Oh, my God. There's not one shred of evidence for that, but the Talmud says, well, we're the evidence. The rabbis say so. It's got to be true. Mm-hmm. It says that he was called a fool. That's Shabbat 104b. And no one pays attention to fools. Mm-hmm. Sanhedrin 107b says that Jesus seduced, corrupted, and destroyed Israel. It was Jesus. He was the one who corrupted and got Israel destroyed. Orach Chaim 113, paragraph 113, tells the Jews, avoid even the appearance of paying respect to Jesus. Avoid even the appearance of paying respect to Jesus. It says here a lot about Christians too. And in fact, it's all about Christians and Gentiles. So in Aoria Dea, paragraph 153, it says, you must not associate with Christians. Better to kill them. Mm-hmm. In Hikoth Makaloth, it says, Christians are idolaters. Do not associate with them. It says here, Abodah Zara, paragraph 15b, says, Christians regularly have sex relations with animals. Oh, boy. Shabbat 145 says, Christians are unclean. Let's see now. Another one. I've got a big list of them here, all these things. I wrote them all down. Orach Chaim 57 says, Christians are to be pitied more than sick pigs. Sanhedrin 74 says, do not have sexual intercourse with the Christians. It would be like having sexual intercourse with beasts. And Aban Hazer 44, page 44, or paragraph 44, excuse me, says marriages between Christians and Jews are null. You know, there used to be some laws in the United States said that blacks and whites could not get married. Well, the Jews say that you can't marry a Christian. Zohar, in the Zohar, book 2, verse 64b, now that's the Zohar, it's in the Talmud and in the Kabbalah, says the Christian birth rate must be diminished. They don't want a lot of Christians out there. Zohar, paragraph 46, says the souls of Gentiles have unclean origins. In Aoria Dea 142 says, you must keep far physically away from churches. Do not listen to church music. Do not look at their idols. You must not rebuild a home destroyed near a church. Their gospels are heretical books. That's Shabbat, paragraph 116a. Abodah Zarah, page 78, says, Christian feast days are despicable, vain, and evil. Oh, yeah. And there's a whole list. It goes pages and pages here I've got of just total horrible things said about Christians. Do not trade with Christians on their feast days. Here's one. Do not send Christians gifts. Never praise Christians, lest it be believed true. People might believe it is true if you praise a Christian. Jews who sell their farm to a Christian, they will be exiled. If you teach a trade to a Christian, that's forbidden. If you find property belonging to a Christian, you may keep it for yourself. That's nice. Baba Kama, pair of 113 says, it is permitted to deceive Christians. It's permitted. Of course it is. Baba Kama 113a says, Jews may lie and perjure to condemn a Christian. Boy, you don't want a guy like that on your jury, do you? You don't want a judge like that either. Now, if you ask them about something about their religion, they're going to lie to you. It says in here, even the name of God is not profane when you lie to Christians. Here's Kala, page 1b. It says, Jews may perjure himself with a clear conscience when speaking to a Christian. He can perjure himself. Oh, no. Our Talmud does not even talk about serpents. That's not true. Tex Mars lied. Yeah, but Shabbat Haggadah, page 60, says, Jews may swear falsely by use of subterfuge wording. They word things in such a way that, you know, is a lie. Zohar 168 says Jews must always try to deceive Christians. Iota Dea 158 says, do not cure Christians if you're a doctor. Don't cure Christians. Do not assist Christians' childbirth. If you find your Christian who is wounded, let him die. Do not save Christians in danger of death. A Christian who is a spy may be killed even before he confesses. If a Christian or a Gentile pries into the Jews' law, they will receive the death penalty. Oh, my. They don't even want you to know their law. Boy. Remember what I told you. Jesus said, we taught nothing in secret. Everything we taught was open. Jesus wants you to know all these things. But they say, why, if anyone pries into our law, kill them. They get the death penalty. All of these things are here. This is, my goodness. By the way, if they behead the Christian, if the Christian is worthy of death, gets beheaded, Pesachim 49b says there's no need of praying. Don't pray for the Christian. Of course not. Don't even pray for him. That's the Jewish Talmud. That's the Jewish Talmud. It's a lie. You can commit adultery. You can make an oath to God. It's called a kol nidre the year before. And ask God to forgive all of the lies you're going to tell the coming year. Now that's a good one, isn't it? In fact, in the synagogue, every year they have a day devoted to the kol nidre. And the Jew is told any that they must take this oath. And they do. They swear to the kol nidre. There's a certain pattern for it. The words. And if they take that oath, then anything they tell the Gentile in the coming year that's a lie is automatically forgiven. Well, isn't that convenient? My friends, please, please throw out your Quran. Throw out the Talmud. Stick with the New Testament. It contains the new covenant of Jesus Christ. When he came, he brought a new covenant. He wrote the laws that he wants you to obey on your heart. And it's pretty simple. You just ask God. God will reveal it to you. You will know. You can even know you're a Christian. You can know. Because you will have God in your heart. And he said he will never leave you, never forsake you, will always be your friend. You can't beat that. You can't defeat God. Believe in Jesus Christ and you will be saved. I'm Tex Mars. Been great to be with you today. Please tune in each week during the same time and discover the power of prophecy.